Hello, it's Wednesday, the 12th of April, and this is Need to Know, your weekly investment podcast exclusive to Coutts. I'm Sarah Muir, and I'm joined as always by Coutts CIO, Alan Higgins. Alan, aside from whether or not you caught any fish on Friday, what do we need to know this week?
Well, I have to cover the fishing, one tiny grayling. And okay. I took a break to listen to the employment report. Of course,
good,
I did,
good.
The US employment report. So as you forced me to look at three things, I think we should look at data in general. Today is CPI data, but I will cover that employment report while I was fishing.
Yeah.
One. Two, we haven't talked about Bitcoin for ages, and you better get that compliance warning in.
I will do.
Make sure that compliance warning is in there because it's been very strong. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, something we've been talking about internally, and maybe we'll do a special on it, is, you know, the behavioral aspect of investing. And one particular study, which is by a firm called Dalba, which I'll refer to.
Yeah, sounds good. I think especially what investors have had to go through the last couple of years, I think that's going to be an interesting topic. OK, well, let's kick off with US data. Now, you did promise on Good Friday that when you were sitting on the riverbank, you were going to check the jobs report. So let's deal with that quickly first. What were the sort of key takeaways from that?
It was rather dull, was the key takeaways. I could get back to my fishing. I'm such a useless fisherman, though, but, you know, it didn't work. Literally, as I said, one tiny fish. But it basically, data came in bang in line with expectations. You may remember earlier this year, we had an absolute blowout employment report.
Yeah.
When people said, recession, what recession? But it basically shows solid employment growth. But of course, there's always a piece of data we like to look at, wages.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Related to today's CPI. Wages came in a little bit better, just a smidge better than
expected.
Now,
when you say better, do you mean lower than expected?
Lower, yeah. From an economics perspective only, of course, for those earning the wages, that's a different matter. But of course, the big issue from an economics and financial market perspective is, can inflation come down? And wages is a big component of that. And today is CPI day.
Yeah. So what was the number? What was the headline? What was the core? What does it tell us about Fed policy? How are markets reacting? So many questions.
Wow. It's like being on Bloomberg TV, Sarah, with a really tough interviewer. Right. Okay. Just the big picture. Headline down to 5. Still on the high side. But Sarah, can you remember what US inflation? It's all about the US, by the way. We're not talking about the UK because US drives markets. Can you remember what US inflation peaked at?
No, I'm going to make an educated guess and say it was around about 9%.
Spot on. You do pay attention. It's actually slightly above 9%. Yeah. So the point being, we've come a long way.
Yeah.
9 down to 5. So there is good news in there.
And this is the lowest figure in 2 years, isn't it? I think I read somewhere.
Yeah. So before they started raising rates significantly, inflation was 7, incredibly. So you mentioned core. Mm. Core came in as expected. So the headline was better than expected. And core came in line with expectations. It's about 5.5%. I'm going to round to make the numbers easy. 5.5% year over year. So we're not done. But look, markets like this. Because as we've been saying all along, markets want this interest rate pain to come to an end.
Yeah. Yeah. And are we now then, you know, I'm now hearing a lot of people talking about the fact that we will start seeing interest rate cuts this year.
So, there's people and there's markets. Markets are predicting cuts.
Yeah.
Are starting to predict cuts. They're quite incredible in the States. To be fair, why are they doing that? Well, if you look at the last 4 rate cutting cycles, they tend to be quite big.
Mm-hmm.
On average, rates were cut just over 4%.
Yeah.
So therefore, you can imagine if you're a trader, you start to think, you start to get wary. Mm. If they start cutting rates, rates are going to be cut a lot. I might take a position at the longer end of the curve. For more traditional investing, that would be buying a 2-year bond and taking the 2-year income stream or maybe the 10-year income stream rather than the cash rate. We shall see, but inflation's going in the right direction.
Yeah.
We've got a big tightening of credit conditions, as we know, with the crisis. I'm going to call it a crisis, the crisis that we've had. Okay, maybe a mini crisis in terms of banks in the United States, the very important regional banks. So, rate cuts, I can see it as well.
Okay, can I press you for a prediction then for May's Fed meeting? Are we going to get another rate rise? Are we going to get a hold?
Not then. So last time I said hold, got it wrong, as usual. But Jay Powell, Chairman Jay Powell, did say they did consider holding rates. So I kind of got half a point. This time, yeah, I think they're on hold. There's a fair bit of data to come. Because I think they should be, because I can really see the damage in the regional banks here. I think we mentioned, I said 5,000 banks. I think it's between 4,000 and 5,000 US banks, an awful lot.
Yeah.
And the regional banks are very important, and they are going to be very risk averse going forward as a result of this crisis. So, I really can see the Fed pausing.
Yeah. And then just last point on this, market reaction, obviously with the caveat that it's an initial reaction. I'm guessing, you know, markets liked the CPI report.
Yeah, look, it's super micro. No one should be a day trader. But yes, the market did like it. So good news. And the market's up a bit, both bonds and equities, actually.
OK. All right, then. Well, that's the data. Let's move on then to a topic we haven't talked about, as you said at the beginning, for a very long time. And that's cryptos, in particular Bitcoin. And it's doing rather well at the moment, isn't it?
It is, up 80% year to date. What came to mind, an ex-colleague who's made the big jump, by the way, make sure we get the compliance warning whenever we talk about crypto stuff. Big compliance warning coming from Sarah at the end. Stay on hold for that. So James Butterfield, who's head of equity research at Coutts and very good, he's gone to the dark side, the crypto side. He's head of research at Coinbase. I'm a bit worried. I've got that company wrong, but I think it's called Coinbase. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we should have him on to talk about the crypto space and grill him quite skeptically. But what I would say, firstly, just like many firms and many places, we're a broad church at Coutts. Yeah. We have groups of complete non-believers, groups of people who are complete believers of virtually everything digital. And there, I sit there somewhere in the middle where I can see a role for Bitcoin only. I'm on record saying that as a digital store of value. I recognize that's highly speculative. However, it is really interesting to see that the correlation with tech has started to break down, because it used to be horrible performing like tech. Now, look, are we going to put it in portfolios? No. One thing we've learned about with issues with the banks, how safe is custody? We're nowhere near that yet in terms of safe custody. And it's still hugely speculative. But as I said before, when you talk to people from Latin America, Lebanon in particular, I've got friends in Lebanon where the currency has been decimated, Bitcoin gives them a way, ironically, of getting into dollars as a store of value. Now, it's a digital belief system. But then we have a physical belief system in gold.
Yeah,
which we do thousands of years. So look, I should say again, Coutts is a broad church. We have people who completely do not believe this at all. But I'm quite open-minded, but only with Bitcoin. And I'm maybe going on a bit, but there's a great JP Morgan piece of research about how they use digital tokens and generally look at this space, and they saw limited use for it. So that's all the other coins, if you like.
So I
found that very, very compelling. But maybe we'll talk about that with James another time. I think that's enough on Bitcoin. Just a reference, it's been very, very strong.
Well, that was going to be my question. Why has it been so strong? Do we know?
Like everything, we talked about this before. Theories, we can't. It's really hard to prove. Gold has been somewhat strong as well. If you like the physical belief system, there is a few of the Bitcoin fanatics. I'm probably going to get hate mail after this. A few of the Bitcoin fanatics are pointing out that the US banking system is about to collapse, you know, after what we've seen, Silicon Valley Bank, and after what we've seen in Europe with Credit Suisse. So that's a reason.
Okay.
I just wonder, look at it more simply, because it's digital belief system, a way of getting into dollars, not unlike gold, very speculative, but I can see reasons why a belief system can exist in the digital world. And the most likely one is going to be Bitcoin.
Yeah. Okay. All right then. Well, as I say, that's going to be a subject I think we're probably going to come back to possibly in a special episode of Need to Know, you know, market conditions prevailing, as long as we haven't got lots of other things going on. Okay. The last one then, slightly different sort of theme, investor emotions, and a report. You've been looking at a report so that we don't have to, in one of our sort of regular spots. Tell us a little bit about this Dalbar report that you've been looking at.
Yeah, so we know the behavioral aspect of investing affects us all. And I should say myself included. You know, I've been doing this for over 30 years, dare I say 35 years. And yet when markets down and get a lot, go down a lot, I feel sick in my stomach, just like many of the listeners on here. However, you know, I remind myself of what's happened before, but it's difficult. Yeah. So what this Dalbar report looks at is that, well, how do individual investors, and it is in the States, how do they behave? And they've basically looked at the equivalent of the Hargreaves Lansdown account in the States, an equivalent, and basically looked at how do individual investors do. Now, it's over the very long term, and the numbers, I'm going to round them, is this. Over 20 years, equities 8, bonds 5, but the average investor on this kind of platform earned 3. Quite remarkable. Now, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah. What's so going on? That's my question. Three? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, why three? Well, our coverage, our people who look after clients directly will not be surprised. Cash features, holding on to cash for too long. Mm. But it's the buying and selling decisions that seem to be bad as well. And in essence, people, and I should say myself included, but I fight myself against it because I'm a professional investor, people only feel comfortable investing when markets go up.
Yes.
And therefore they time it badly. Yeah. And I've even seen several investors who sell quite well. Mm. You know, they see some euphoria on the other, and they sell quite well, but they never get back in, or they get it back in far too late. So it's a very interesting study, and it's a bit of a call to action in terms of be honest with yourself, look at your own investing, and are you too active? Are you buying and selling at the wrong time? Do you hold way too much cash? Look, everyone needs some cash. Of course they do.
Yeah.
God, the compliance warning's going to have to be strong after this one, Sarah.
Yes.
But we'll cover this a bit more in depth and cover other aspects, because we have a behavioral scientist team in the NatWest group, don't we, Sarah?
We do. In fact, we did an internal thing with him the other week. Very interesting as well. So I guess what it comes down to, the old adage, for those that don't know it or maybe have forgotten it, it does come down to that idea of timing the market rather than timing the market, doesn't it? Because if you're an individual investor, even if you're a professional investor like yourself, actually timing it is extremely difficult.
It is. And we have to be humble about it. And look, we have a tactical team here at Coutts who try to mitigate the downside. And right now, for example, as I said before, they're defensive. And I'm so pleased they're not outright bearish, because right now what we're going through now just shows how difficult it is. And these are professional investors, and we're backed by a lot of quantitative data, et cetera. That's how difficult it is. If you're an individual investor, it's even more difficult. And also, it's easy to fall in love with a particular stock or fund and buy those at the wrong time. So it's quite a powerful piece of work. And look, it is in the public domain. Anyone can Google Dalbar. Mm-hmm. They're a strange firm that kind of specialize in this kind of behavioral research. And you'll find the numbers out there. So it's not proprietary information. It's generally available on the internet. And I've rounded the numbers to make sense of them.
Yeah.
But let's cover it in more depth in a special. Maybe in the dog days of the summer.
when everybody sells in May, we'll do it.
Actually,
then.
That's a good time to do it, yeah.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much, Alan. So let's just run through, before I get to the very important disclaimer at the end, the key sort of takeaways from today. We looked at US data. So we had a jobs report that was kind of in line with expectations, not very exciting, which is actually quite good at the moment. The US CPI print that came out on today, that's Wednesday. We had the headline figure came much better than expected year on year at 5%, and the core inflation was about 5% year on year, which was about in line with expectations. We looked at Bitcoin, which is having a very good year, and interesting to see it's becoming less correlated with tech. Why is that? Well, lots of questions, but it's demonstrating the fact that it's still a hugely speculative asset, and it's not something that we hold in portfolios. And then last but not least, we looked at investor emotions. Alan talked about the Dalbar report, which, as I say, if you Google, you can go and find. And it's how investors' approach to investing, individual investors in particular, can have an impact on their returns. And as I say, repeating the old adage, time in the market rather than trying to time the market and trying to buy and sell at optimum times is incredibly difficult, even for a tactical team of a bank, let alone an individual investor. So a reminder that the views expressed in this podcast are not intended to constitute investment advice, are accurate at the time of recording, and are subject to change. Thank you very much, Alan, for joining me today. Don't forget to check out the podcast page on Coutts.com to access previous episodes. That's all for this week. See you next week for more Need to Know. Bye for now.